out yesterday with four or five adults, and they went to I don't know how many residences, and they picked fruit. So the inside of the kitchen, when she sent the picture, there was fruit on the cabinets, there was fruit on the floor, there was fruit on the table, there was fruit in bags everywhere. You couldn't see anything but all the fruit. So I just, you know, want to thank the scouts first and foremost. None of them are here, but the way we give thanks to a scout is we give a round of applause. Do you all know how to do that? Thank you. But we also want to thank you. We thank you for allowing us to meet here, to have different activities here. We, as the troop, want to thank. There was also a cub there yesterday. We just want to thank the church for sponsoring us. Okay, some of the other announcements that we have here. The worship committee meeting, or the worship committee, needs a head usher and an 8:15 sound man or woman. It says, please see Pastor Esther or Connie Laurie to get that filled. We need a volunteer to take over the food pantry at the end of the month. Betty, could you elaborate on that?
We need to thank you.
Yes. Amen. So, folks, we've got some big shoes to fill. In Wednesday. We have class at 8:30. So, I'm also those details will come out as a motion. I had an announcement too for the ministry of donations to Trent. The needs are listed in the back sanctuary locks for donations. The Easter Hunk is scheduled for April 4th here at the church for ages 2 to 10. Also, if you have a prayer or a praise, we have these cards in front of you here in the beautiful place in the offering plate. All of you can send for a friend, cover, please, the offering plate is good around as well.
I don't know that I announced it before, so it's reminder next Saturday.
Amen. Anyone else better? All right, if we could open up to our meeting. Offering hope and peace to this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we're going to stand and look at the screen behind me. And we're going to think about Sheila Landry. We're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine.
And now, if you're turning your hill to 83, we gather in the action of faith. We are alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who made Jesus, word, in us and others by the Spirit. We are the church. To break us, love and serve others, to see justice and resist, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In this, we are not alone. Thank God.
doing this morning? Good. I want to talk to you about if you have ever taken a trip anywhere, anywhere at all. Have you taken a trip? What's a vacation? What's a vacation? What's a vacation? That's what she said. We go away for some weeks. That's not about you. Whenever you go on a cruise, that's a vacation. Have you been on one anymore? You've been on a cruise? You're going to go to Hawaii? Have you done that? Have you gone to that? You're going to do that. She's going to go on a plane to Hawaii. We'll take you. Take me with you. Yeah. Thank you. This is a deal. It's a deal. All right. I'd like to go to Hawaii. Now, when we take a trip, sometimes we have such time on a trip, think, oh, it's forever. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could be on vacation forever? We would to come back in. It would be such a nice thing to be on a trip. Oh, you're so. You couldn't bring your God. Sometimes we have reasons to have reasons. We can only stay away for so long. That's right. That happened to the disciples. They kind of went on a trip up the mountain with Jesus. And they didn't want to come down from the mountain. They wanted to stay with Jesus, build some tents because they heard the voice of God and they saw Jesus being transformed in front. It was so wonderful. They didn't want to come down the mountain. But Jesus said, no, we have to come back down the mountain. It's a way, but we have to come back to our real life. But when, as Christians, we do need to get away in our alone God. Prayer time, have Bible reading time, and time with God. But we always have a world where people need us, like our pets, and our neighbors and friends, and our moms and dads. You pray to God every single night. I have it, too. To go to God every single night in prayer. I bet you pray for the people you love. What's that? You pray the same prayer every night? All right. You like that prayer. And it makes you feel good. And your daddy. And everyone. That's right. We pray and thank God for all God's life. We do thank you, God, for these children. And we pray your blessing upon them as they grow in your truth and families that they serve. And, oh God, we bless you that we might be the kind of church that will help these children know and learn about you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Here you go.
John said, you know my favorite kind.
Well, the ushers come forward for our presentation of tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God, these gifts come from our hearts to your heart. We ask that you bless the gifts that we bring. They represent our love of you. And we pray that you can use these gifts for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
lives are light. Won't come and I will give abundant life. For his way righteously, oh, I do it. I hope that you belong. Oh, may you open up my soul. And he will come eternal life. Oh. And then death will be a thing of the past. Lord, your joy is last. Then he will give eternal. For he will come and give eternal. He will come and give eternal life.
I tune out everything else for you, whether it's Christ, bowing head, whatever gets you feel that you are a body God. Take a couple of deep breaths. Get rid of whatever makes you anxious or worried, because that just hinders what God says to us. In these moments of silence, offer your prayer, for God is listening. Whether it be the name of someone or a place in the world or a situation in your life, give it to God today, silently or aloud, as we continue in prayer.
The Claybaugh family.
Tracy
Coleman.
Okay. Family.
I personally want to thank everybody for praying for me. I don't have my work.
George Thompson, he travels to go to his aunt's funeral.
Our food pantry, I'm in the neighborhood.
So many here are prayers. And in your infinite mercy, O Christ, we come remembering a special time on the mountaintop with you. And we pray that we would look at you with new eyes, eyes that see you in the light of Jesus, that see your Son Jesus as the one who's to set you free, to heal, to bring hope. Peace. Make us today ready to become followers, rather than remaining dazzled by the mountaintop experience. Give us strength and courage today to come down from the witness to your Son's love by the many deeds of mercy and justice we offer in his name. And today we offer ourselves an imperfect, but willing to serve. And we pray as he taught his first followers pray by saying, God,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 454, we'll sing Open Eyes That I May See.
Thank you.
scriptures for this morning are from Mark 9, verse 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart, but by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling, as none on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah, Moses. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. Moses away, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice. The beloved, listen to him. And they found they still don't know Jesus. As they were coming down, they were telling no one about what Jesus had written.
Remember, when Snoopy and Charlie Brown and the gang paid for every single map for years, probably 50 years. Linus and Tom, in this version of the comic, are lying on their back, pitcher's mound, and they're staring at the clouds in the sky. And Charlie Brown says, Linus, do you ever see anything in the clouds? And Linus says, well, yes, Charlie Brown, I do. For instance, that one over there bears striking resemblance to Michelangelo's depiction of creation on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And that one over there looks like a map of Scandinavia. There's Denmark and Sweden. And that one there looks like a helix. Do you ever see anything, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown, well, I was going to say a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind. Poor Charlie Brown. Every time I am confronted with a biblical story like the Transfiguration, I feel a little bit like Charlie Brown. In the religious experiences of others, the things I have seen are simple and plain. Experience means wishes of light or red hot oceans, no defined moments of transcendence, no mythical exuberance. No, my religious experience tends towards mundane and ordinary. When I'm reading the Bible, when I'm spending time with Emily, experience with you. It's foreign to me, and yet at the same time, it's the heart that pulls at my soul. There are basically two ways in which to approach the scientific, analytical approach with eyes attuned to seeing mystery. Kierkegaard told a story about this. There were two in the other. They met in France on the beach. The language they conversed in high French. But after the girl with the boy, which he did not. So first, he translated it by using grammar books and dictionaries and lexicons, but that wasn't enough. He couldn't stop there. He put aside the literal words and red letter for what it was, a love letter from a girl, a love letter which was aimed at his heart, not his head. And so it is with the holy stories that we hear in the Bible. While we don't want to turn off our brains in looking at a story like this, we cannot stop at just the rational level. We must remember to read the Bible for the thing that it is, a letter aimed at the heart. The story was written by the heart. And a few of you are going to read the Dick and Jane, remember that? Sissy Dick Go. Here Jane, here Jane. Well, one way, looking at and listening to and hearing the story of the Transfiguration, is find these simple words. See, hear, go. What did they see on the mountain? A thing seen. The question is not what actually happened, what factually occurred. The important question is what did disciples report that they saw? What was revealed to them? Revelation is always a God-given gift. What was it that they saw? Light and cloud, which are ancient symbols of the presence of God. You might remember that after the accident, people were led by God in the form of a cloud by day and a fire by night. And so on that, the disciples saw God's presence and guidance in a cloud and a shining light focused upon Jesus. And then they saw Moses and Elijah. In the Jewish tradition, Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. And so both Moses and Elijah were to return before the coming of the Messiah. And so the appearance of Moses and Elijah on that mountain signaled to disciples that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God. Moses and Elijah give Jesus their blessing, and then the disciples see Jesus alone. Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus is left there alone. This shows that Jesus completes or fulfills the law and the prophets in the person of Jesus. What did they hear? They heard divine speech saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And they heard a command to listen to Jesus. In Matthew's version of the same story, they heard from Jesus the gospel. He says, "Get up and do not be afraid." Through the eyes of Peter, James, and John, we have seen the vision, we have heard this, but how to respond? Where are we to go? The first thing we're called to do is to go up the mountain. Not to lights or booming voices, but to save time apart with Christ, with God on a daily basis. Remember that you are God's beloved child. And listen to Jesus. And that takes practice, takes intentionality, that takes time alone with God. And love one another, heart and soul, and your mountain, not into our life. Peter to stay on a little high, but we say we have to go back down to where life lived for real. For it is down here in the valley, out there in our homes, our schools, our jobs, the mundane, ordinary, so-called world, that real faith is lived out. That is where we live our faith. That is where we shine, like I said, shine us, because that is where it's needed the most. We come down and serve the call of God. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is "Turn Your Eyes on Jesus," and the words we projected on the screen. Listen. Let you remember that there is plenty of fruit to choose from in the kitchen, and we hope that you will take, there's both oranges and grapefruit, so please feel free to take some with you as you leave today. Now will you receive the benediction. May God, Father, God, bless each of you. Be nice, go in his peace.